presiding, obviously, today. And to my right is Judge Francie Reedman, and to my left is Judge Larry Welch. Yeah, I think you have to go that way. All right, our next case is In Re Interest of Artemis. Again, our next case is In Re Interest of Artemis, and counsel, you may approach.
Good afternoon. May it please the court.
Counsel.
My name is Andrea Finnegan McChesney, and I represent the grandmother intervener in this matter. It's a juvenile court matter out of found from the separate juvenile court of Douglas County, Nebraska. This is a matter involving six minor children. One of them is named after my client, the grandmother, and I think that's an important fact in this matter. My client has attempted to intervene in this juvenile court matter not once, but twice. And both of those times, she has not been allowed to do so. Auburn, who is my client and the grandmother, wanted to intervene in this matter because she loves her daughter, Krista, and she loves her six grandchildren very much. And she's been very concerned with the matter that was filed in February of 2017 and continues this day. One of the big concerns regarding this attempt at intervention is the children's constant movement and placement, one of which, one of the minor children who is named after my client has been moved no less than 20 times over the course of these proceedings. In the first, I'll take you to, I think what's important to discuss here today, and I didn't save 2 minutes for my rebuttal, which I would like to do at this time, please. What I think is important is to look at the two orders from the juvenile court. The first one being...
Before we look at the first order, though, that was a denial of
yes.
her motion to intervene, and it wasn't appealed, correct?
It was not.
So that order is done and over and not really before us for review, right?
And you're absolutely correct.
Okay, so the issue before us, I believe, is... Did your client prove that she had adopted Krista?
I think that's a great question, and I think that is one of the questions. I think the statute allows for any third party interested person to intervene. I think that what the record shows is that there was, if you look at that July 10th, 2018 order, it's a very small portion of that several-page order in which the judge says the court took the matter under advisement, now finds the objections to the complaint to intervene shall be sustained. There's no evidentiary basis to grant the relief sought. I don't believe that's accurate. There was evidentiary testimony presented to the court that day from the biological mother. There was an objection by the guardian ad litem and Health and Human Services in the state as to the authenticity of the birth certificate that was attempted to be received by the court that day.
And that objection was sustained?
It was sustained, and it was not received. But the testimony of Ms. Gibson, the biological mother, provided that she was adopted by the McMillans, that she considered them her parents, that those are the grandparents of these children, and they had talked about adopting her since she was 17 because she lived with them when she was a teenager and has only had those the McMillans as her parents and the grandparents of these children. They have a active role in the children's lives, and that was the evidence and testimony that was presented that day. Despite, I think, I know that the objection was it wasn't a certified copy that day, and we just hadn't received it, and we attempted to...
Is this the first go-round you're talking about, or the second? The second one?
This is the second one in July of 2018, Judge. And my client adopted, she and her husband Larry adopted Ms. Gibson in December of 2017.
So that was after the first order rejecting the motion to intervene?
It was. In that first order, I think what's interesting, and I don't think is relevant, the first order in November of 2017 sets forth, again, a very small paragraph with regard to the findings of the court that aren't appropriate or consistent with the statute at all. It says that she is not the biological mother, which you don't have to be. There's nothing in 25.328 that provides or allows that a biological relative has to be the intervener. But that's something that the judge initially indicated. Another factor was that she was not a stepmother. Again, 25.328 does not allow for that at all. That's not something that an intervener is required to be. And
does the fact that you didn't appeal that first order present a problem for you in terms of being precluded from raising it again later?
I don't believe so, Judge, because you could intervene at any time according to 25.328. You can intervene at any time prior to trial. And that had not, we appropriately.
But you didn't raise those in your second motion to intervene. You sought to intervene solely on the basis that she was the grandmother. And the court denied that, finding that there was no evidentiary basis for it. My understanding of the record is the evidence was the testimony of Krista that she had been adopted at age 33 and that her biological mother was still alive and had not surrendered her parental rights to her. So my question is there evidence in the record that that would be a valid adoption?
I believe that given the testimony of Krista shows that she was legally adopted. And there is no evidence showing that she was not, to the contrary, Judge. But
well,
again, I think which I know that's a, it's not there. But what I do think is really important is that statutorily, she doesn't have to be a biological mother.
But that's the only basis upon which you moved to intervene the second time.
We also, as we did in the first complaint to intervene, discussed the role that she had and the relationship that she has with those children, and given
solely as the grandmother.
As the grandmother.
So in order to prove that, there needed to be proof that Krista had been adopted. My question is, do we have any evidence? I know we have her testimony saying, I was adopted in Texas on December whatever. We have any evidence, would that be a valid adoption in Nebraska? And if that's not the question, and the question is it valid in Texas? Do we have anything to prove what's valid in Texas for an adult adoption?
And Judge, those are good questions, and I understand that that's the basis for our second attempt to intervene. I would just go back to the fact that she doesn't have to be the biological grandmother. She is the adopted mother of the biological mother of these grandchildren. Ms. Gallagher-McMillan has filed not once but twice to intervene here because she loves these children. She considers them her grandchildren. The evidence and testimony, and I will leave it there, Judge, and have my rebuttal time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please support your honors, Ms. McChesney. My name is Ann Troy, and I'm the guardian ad litem of the minor children. Just to lay this out for all of you, in February of 2017, the children were removed from their biological mother, Krista Gibson. There were six children. Three children were placed with the Reed Hansen family in Blair, Nebraska, where they've been residing since February 2017. Two other children, Molly and Esme, have been in three, possibly four placements. However, they are also in an adoptive placement at this time. The oldest one, Auburn, who's 11 years old, is the one that has had multiple placements due to her severe mental health issues. In my brief, I stated that Athena, who is the youngest child, was born in November of 2016. Auburn Gallagher did not come to light until July of 2017. There was no way she had seen this child. There was no testimony, and I wouldn't even address the first since it was not appealed by counsel. However, I'll address both. There was no testimony given by Ms. Auburn Gallagher McMillan that she had a close and beneficial caring relationship with all six of these children. Three of those children, I do not believe she ever really had any interaction with. The children's ages are 11. Auburn is 11. Molly is 10. Esme is 8. Artemis is 6. Persephone is 4. And Athena is 2. In addition, it's important to note that Krista's lived up here for 8 years in Omaha, Nebraska. She resided 2 years before that in Leander, Texas, where the alleged adoptive parents live. There is no testimony where Auburn Gallagher came to Omaha to say, yes, I adopted Krista. Please note that Krista's mother, Mickey Johnson, is still alive, and according to the statute in the state of Nebraska, 43-101, subsection 2, it narrowly defines how one can adopt an adult child here in the state of Nebraska. The adult has no living parents, which Mickey Johnson is still alive and still Krista's biological mother. Her rights have never been terminated. She's never relinquished her parental rights. She's never abandoned Krista. And the parent or parents are capable of consenting. There is a biological mother here. There is a grandmother of these children here. It's not Auburn McMillan Gallagher or Gallagher McMillan. It is Mickey Johnson. And the testimony that was given to the court on both occasions was insufficient for Judge Johnson to find that, in fact, this woman, Krista, at the age of 33 years old, was adopted by Miss Auburn McMillan Gallagher, Gallagher McMillan, I'm so sorry. And I will tell you, Krista did say something which I thought was very interesting, that she and the Gallagher McMillans have talked about adopting her since the age of 17. So 16 years later, her children are in juvenile court, and this woman has held herself out, Miss Auburn has held herself out, to be the biological, or to be the grandmother of these children, which she was never the grandmother of these children. So I would respectfully request at this time that there was no evidence, to let you know, there was no evidence adduced or received at the July 10th hearing proving that the appellant adopted Krista, and I would respectfully request and pray that you affirm the lower court's finding in which they denied the appellant's complaint to intervene.
So I want to address the juvenile court's statement. There is no evidentiary basis to grant the relief sought.
Correct.
My reading of the record is that Krista did testify that she was adopted in Texas by the party who was moving to intervene.
Correct.
Is that not evidence?
I don't think it rises to the level of what the judge needed to. Anyone could come in and say, yes, I was adopted. Where is the proof? I can come in and say it. Yes, she was under oath, but I don't think that's going to rise to the level where the judge said, okay, yes, I understand you were adopted. Could have had Auburn come up and testify. They could have had the certified copy. And this is Texas, where she got adopted. Why did she not get adopted in Nebraska, where she is residing?
Doesn't she answer that question and say because she was down in Texas and that's why they did it? She was there visiting. She was in Texas visiting, and that's why they did it there?
Right, but why would you not? She lives here, so why would you not file the adoption papers up here as opposed to in Texas? The reason why you don't file them up here is because she never would have been adopted according to Nebraska law.
Does that matter? Would we not recognize, if there was a valid adoption of an adult in Texas, would we not recognize that here in Nebraska?
We would recognize it. However, there was not sufficient evidence for the judge to make the determination that, in fact, she was legally adopted. Krista was legally adopted by this woman. and her husband.
So is it a credibility issue that we're evaluating? The judge didn't believe that she was adopted? Is it a lack of evidence that the fact that she testified she was 33, that she had a biological mother who was still living, who hadn't terminated her rights, doesn't provide us with a basis to conclude that it was a valid adoption?
I think the lack of evidence comes in with the birth certificate, Your Honor, that there was not a certified birth certificate, certified copy of the birth certificate.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else? No, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And how much time does the appellant have left? 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I would just reiterate that the statute 25328 doesn't require Ms. Gallagher McMillan to be the biological parent or the adoptive parent. I think it bolsters her credibility and bolsters her position as an intervener that she was adopted or did adopt the biological mother. And it was something that they discussed for many years. The biological mother lived as a teenager for many years, as I indicated earlier, for many years with the McMillans. They did it in Texas because they're Texas residents, as that November 15th, 2017 order indicated by Judge Johnson. Again, none of those things are relevant, and I think that that's important. You have to look at that statute, and the plain language of that statute allows for an interested third party such as a grandparent, a neighbor, if that neighbor has been acting in loco parentis. Both of our complaints discussed Ms. Gallagher's in loco parentis status.
I agree that the motions or the petitions did, but was there evidence adduced as to her relationship with all six of those children?
There was, and even the, I think all of the attorneys and parties would, and did advise the court that she is an integral part of their relationship. You don't have to be a present in the state of Nebraska to not have, you know, we have grandparents all over the country and children all over the country. Ms. Auburn Gallagher McMillan has a big interest in this, and just because Krista lived in Nebraska and she lives in Texas doesn't mean that she wasn't a part of these children's lives. She's been a very substantial part of these children's lives, including at the inception of this case in the summer of 2017, when everyone agreed that this little girl, my client's namesake, could go spend several weeks down in Texas with her grandma.
Based upon a representation of a relationship that she didn't currently have, right?
And she had, and that's what they discussed, Judge. Nobody was trying to maliciously misrepresent anything. That's her mom. That's what she's always said. I think there was some confusion with the parties as to stepmother. I've talked to my client at great length, and she's like, I've never said I was a stepmother. I'm the grandma. They call me. I was there during some of their births. That's what my husband and I are. So I think that's important, again, and look at that statute. The plain language allows for this. The two orders denying it are not, they don't comply with Nebraska law.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, thank you both. The matter is submitted, and you are excused.